Father in heaven, we are just so grateful and thankful for the warmth that's outside from the sunshine, but also the warmth that surrounds us inside today as well in your house of worship. And Lord, we just ask that you will be present, that your angels will surround us and walk these aisles now. And especially in a special way, Lord, I just ask that you will use me as your tool, as your vessel. Set aside any of my weaknesses and flaws that nothing will hinder or stop the blessing that you have in store for each and every person here today. May the words, Lord, as they leave my lips, fall upon each individual's ears. Change the words accordingly so that they may hear the message that you have in store for them personally this morning. Thank you again for just worshiping with us at this time now. And we thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. When we think of total health, usually there's three words that end up popping into our minds, and that is body, mind, and spirit. Health in many cases tends to directly link to the body, such as what we eat, what we consume, what we drink. Basically, whatever we're consuming in general is now agreed upon by science and the general public that it weighs a great deal on our health as well as the relation to diseases. We know that there are foods that are high in saturated fats, cholesterol, refined foods, sugars, and salts. But these are all related to diseases such as heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and so forth. But more and more people are experiencing through diet and lifestyle changes that these diseases can be reversed and even be prevented. And I have shared with you a bit about this throughout this week. So besides nutrition, we have exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, fresh air, rest, and trust in God. But I'd like to add one more into this as well, and that is attitude. You see, having a PhD in nutrition over the years, I've studied a number of these lifestyle practices and the benefits of them on the body. But as a Christian, I believe that I have embraced these principles of these health practices with a deeper meaning than those of my unbelieving peers. First of all, I don't believe that you can study the body and realize that we were created with a very special purpose. In fact, we were created with great thought and great creativity. The detail that is in every living cell of the body is actually mind-boggling. There's no doubt in my mind, nor could anyone actually plant the tiniest seed of doubt in my mind that we were not specially created and formed in the image of God. Secondly, the more that I studied, the more I found it exceptionally interesting that God considers both the spiritual and the physical health to be important. Do you believe that? Amen. Because there's actually a philosophy out there, even among good Christians, that God is only interested in our spiritual health and not our physical health. You see, anything that's related physical is not spiritual, they consider, and therefore it is not relevant. But we are told that Jesus is very interested in our physical health, in fact, as much as our spiritual health. You see, Jesus' time on this earth, while he spent his time here, he spent more time healing than he did preaching. And this is because he cares. He was concerned about people, how they felt, and he was concerned when they suffered. In Matthew 4:23, we can read, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You see, when Jesus healed the people physically, they were then more open spiritually to receive him and to listen to his words. The purpose of these health guidelines that I showed you in the beginning here are not so that you will never grow old, but instead that you will have lengthened tranquility and have a longer and more abundant life. God's not saying that if you eat enough vitamin C or enough garlic, that you will never die. But rather, by being healthy, especially as a Christian, we can instead serve God and our fellow man better. This is the purpose of our health message. And best of all, this is the best reason of all. I believe that our spiritual comprehension and our communication with God is dependent upon our physical health. You see, God communicates to us how? Through our brain, doesn't he? And the way that God reaches us is through our mind. The brain is biological, it is physical, and it is spiritual. And when God sends someone a vision, it is through the brain. Now, when you have your personal devotions, when is the best time of day to enjoy those? Early in the morning, first thing in the morning. Why? Because that is when your mind is the clearest for that time of the day. So therefore, you can understand that how we feel physically depends then how clear our minds are, and as to how much we are able then to comprehend spiritual things, and especially then to hear God's voice. And this is why many times we choose to fast and pray, so that we can have that clear mind. And so when we cleanse or detoxify physically, we then are able to hear more spiritually. When it comes to spiritual and physical health, these two cannot be separated. The Bible says one of the greatest commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. This is relating to both the physical and the spiritual side. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. And 3 John 2, brethren, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Another one is found in Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And so this morning I want to share with you some of these benefits of health practices and lifestyle choices, this time not just from a physical point of view, as I have done all week, but I want to especially have you note that there is always a spiritual view as well that goes along with each of these health practices. So let's begin with nutrition. The former Surgeon General of the U.S., C. Everett Koop, stated that 2/3 of the diseases of Americans are related to their diet. A Canadian study that was based on data from 54 countries found that 35% of all heart attacks globally are caused from diets that are heavy in fried foods, salty snacks, and meats. Chicago's Rush Institute for Healthy Aging reports that respondents eating adequate nutrient-filled vegetables showed a 40% less mental decline than those who ate few or no vegetables. Those eating especially lots of leafy green vegetables showed remarkable results of maintaining healthy brain function, which would actually be expected of 5 years or more younger, people 5 years younger than themselves. Now, many of you are familiar with this text, Genesis 1:29, that reads, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. You see, this is not a diet of deprivation by any means. The abundance of the fresh fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the nuts, the seeds, the legumes, they are full of nutrients, but they are also full of color, smell, and packed with flavor. Deuteronomy 8:3 reads, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see, God's diet is truly the ultimate diet plan, if we are seeking ultimate health. God does not want our lives to be complex and bogged down. In fact, there's so many confusing diets and lifestyle choices that are continuously facing us now that he truly wants to make it simple. He laid everything out very plainly. And then in this text that I just shared with you, it points out that food alone is not what gives us life, but it's the Word of God that also must be feasted upon daily. And so we need to put our trust in our Maker and our Designer and feel the benefits both physically and spiritually. John 6:35 reads, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." This week I've spoken a little bit about exercise. And many of you exercise daily. And others, I hope maybe I have motivated. But in just 30 minutes a day of brisk walking will cut your risk of a heart attack by 50%. It'll decrease the risk of cancer, decrease your risk of hip fractures, increase circulation, providing a clearer mind. It will dramatically reduce anger, fatigue, and tension. But do you realize that there's spiritual exercise as well? And that is exercising our faith daily. This is growing through our daily commitment of spending time in worship with God. Now, I'm sure you have heard the saying, the faith of a little child. And one of the most wonderful thrills of a parent or a grandparent is watching that faith develop in your own children. I have four boys. They're all getting up there in age now. I almost don't like telling their age because then it sort of tells my age. Can't hide it as easy anymore. But my oldest son is 23. My second oldest is 21. I have one that just turned 17 and one that'll be turning 15. And so this is a story of my two oldest. My oldest is Nathan and my second oldest is Reuben. And one day, Reuben had an earache all night. We were up all night with this earache. And in the morning, I had done everything I could do, and I realized time to take him to the doctor. And so I said to Nathan, "Nathan, today we're going to take Reuben to the doctor, so you can do this and this, and then we're going to be heading off, okay?" And Nathan says, "Well, why do we have to go to the doctor, Mom?" I said, "Well, Reuben has an earache. He has an ear infection, so we're going to go to the doctor and, you know, try to get it fixed." He says, "But Mommy, why do we have to go? I mean, we've been praying. Why isn't Jesus healing him?" And so I explained, "Well, you know, sometimes Jesus has to work through other people to help us. And so today, Jesus is going to work through the doctor and help heal Reuben's ear." Oh, he thought that was great. So the morning went on, and every 5 minutes, "Mom, how much longer until we go to the doctor's? Mom, how much longer?" I thought, wow, he's sure excited. I figured, well, maybe he remembers that corner in the waiting room of all those exciting toys. I don't know. We didn't go to the doctor often, so maybe it was just something of excitement. And so finally the time came, and we loaded in the car, and off we went to the doctor's office. And he jibber-jabbered all the way there excitedly. And we got there and checked in and sat down. I said, "Well, Nathan, there's the toys. You can play." But he didn't want to play. He sat on the edge of his chair wondering when we were going to be called in to see this doctor. So finally, we were called, and we went into the first little area. Reuben was hardly a year old, so they weighed him and had to measure him and all this stuff first. And Nathan's looking around all excited, and he says, "So where's Jesus?" And the nurse kind of looked at me and said, "What did he say?" I said, "Just check." So I kind of knelt down by him and said, "Well, what did you say, Nathan?" And he says, "Where's Jesus?" I knew where this was going. And so I said, "Well, Nathan, we're not going to see Jesus. Jesus is going to work through the doctor, and we're going to go down this hall in one of those rooms, and we're going to see the doctor, and Jesus is going to work through the doctor to heal Reuben's ear. Do you understand?" He's like, "Yep." I said, "Excellent." So I smiled at the nurse, and she kept weighing and measuring, and all of a sudden, Nathan took off, bing, down that hall, and start shouting as he's looking in the rooms, "Jesus, Jesus, where are you?" And now the nurse is wondering about me. So we finally made it into a room, and I explained to him again, Nathan, the same way that we pray to Jesus at home and he's with us is the same way he's with us right now. You're not going to see Jesus today. He's just with us right now. Do you understand? Yeah. So we went through the doctor's appointment. We got in the car to go home and we drove home and we were almost home. And he was quiet all the way home, which is very unusual for this boy. Takes after me. And when we were almost there, I said, Nathan, I'm looking in the rearview mirror. What's wrong? Why are you so quiet? And he looks up with tears streaming down his cheeks. And he says, Mommy, I thought I was going to see Jesus today. And so I said, Nathan, you know, it won't be long. We will be seeing Jesus. And we will be able to go to heaven and spend forever with him. And he looks at me and he says, Oh, Mommy, I just can't wait for that day. I want to be with him so badly that I wish we could just go now. Do we have the same faith? The faith and the belief of just a three-year-old? You see, nothing else mattered to him at that time other than to only see Jesus face to face. That's our goal, isn't it? On the shoulders of faith, we can see further than our eyes can see. Water is another important lifestyle practice. The body is 75% water and only 25% solid material. Your brain alone is 75% water. Therefore, your brain is the most sensitive to dehydration. It is the first part of your body to be affected. Water transports nutrients throughout your body, as well as it cleans the blood. Blood is normally 94% water. The flow of the water in and out of your cells keeps the body in what we call an alkaline state, meaning it is providing the environment to keep diseases from growing. Water has two properties. It is life-sustaining and it is life-giving. And it is the same for spiritual water that we can obtain only through Jesus. And that is life-sustaining and life-giving, isn't it? In John 4, 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, and remember this was the Samaritan woman that went to Jacob's well and fetched water for Jesus, whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Sunlight, something we're very grateful for, isn't it? And it's known as the miracle vitamin. It provides the body with vitamin D, which in turn does a number of beneficial things for the body. It kills bacteria. It adds years to your life. It synchronizes your hormones, it beautifies your skin, it prevents cancer, MS, prevents MS, drives away depression, builds the immune system, and it's an inexpensive painkiller, as well as prevents what is called seasonal affective disorder known as SAD disease. However, each of us, at times in our lives, we seem to face this winter of illness, trauma, and tragedy. And as these winters of advancing years come, there is a sad disease of sickness, aging, and death. But remember that God is with us through all these seasons of life. Even in the darkness, we can find that Jesus is the light of the world. And for our loved ones and friends, we can shine, as even as Christ said, you are the light of the world. And we can rest assured that after we have faced these long winters, there will come the springtime, known as those times of joy in our lives. You see, through Christ, we can have real light therapy. And a few verses that speak of this light therapy include, Christ brought light, Christ is the light, and you are the light of the world. Malachi 4:2 sums it all up. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Temperance. Temperance is a lifestyle choice. It is dealt with on a personal level daily. Temperance means abstinence from anything that is harmful to us physically, mentally or spiritually, as well as what taking something good in moderation. So we are told to be temperate in all things. We don't want to jeopardize our relationship with Christ, do we? So when something takes up our time and replaces Christ in our life, then we need to choose to practice or do something different so that He is number one. We choose or practice sometimes or consume something that will harm our bodies, and we're told that our bodies are a temple of God. So as we then put ourselves before God and run the risk of following out of that relationship with Him, we need to realize we need Him first in our lives. Fresh air. In fact, usually we don't tend to think a lot about breathing, do we? Or what we breathe. But oxygen is the source of all life. Going for a walk in the free, invigorating air is something that restores our mind and our bodies. Without fresh air or without oxygen, we will die. It is the same with Christ. We need Him daily in our lives, or we will die. We will spiritually die. Genesis 2:7 reads, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The economy is crashing. Our planet is deteriorating. We have conditions such as hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, fires, floods. These are all killing people, destroying homes, destroying businesses. We have murders, we have kidnappings, robberies. Let's face it, our world is not a world of peace, is it? What about your personal life? Broken relationships, long, endless hours of work, debts that only seem to grow, loss of loved ones as they suddenly pass away unexpectedly, personal health issues, and the list can go on. Is there really a possibility that we can find rest in a world such as this, with all these obligations and sorrows? I would have liked to have been there. You see, it had been a very eventful day. Crowds, they pressed close, and many wonders had been seen. But it was such a long day. He was tired. He was exhausted. And how he longed for rest. And so as this evening approached, he and the group that he was with decided that they would cross the lake. And as they pushed off, others who didn't want the day to end went along with them. And so he fell asleep. I would have liked to have been there. You see, I would have had peace knowing that he was there, and the fact that the night was just so calm. But within a very short period of time, a storm arose, and these seasoned fishermen who were in the boat, they were now afraid for their lives. And as many of you here know, that when you are in a small boat, on a large lake in this case, and a storm arises, it is clear you are going to die. At least that's what they thought. And so they struggled with all their might to save themselves. What would you have done? But finally they remembered he was in that boat. He was in the boat, even amidst that howling wind. They called out to him to save him, but their voices were now just snatched away by that wind. And then in the flash of lightning, they looked and they saw him asleep in the boat. I don't know how he could have done it. For here it was, their boat was sinking, and in a moment they would be in the water and they would all drown. And so they cried out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose with total peace on his face. And that is what I want. You see, he did not have peace because he was God, for he had already laid all that down. He had peace because he trusted in his Father. And you and I can have that same peace when storms arise in our lives because we have that same Father. Matthew 11:28 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. You know, God didn't say that living in this world was going to be easy, but he did say that he was going to walk with us every step of the way. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you, even in this crazy world that it is today, we can go to that rest maker, and he will give you rest. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, I'm sure each of us have realized the effects of stress and what it can do to us physically. In fact, scientists can monitor and view under a microscope our red blood cells and watch them disfigure and change shape under stress. We also know stress can affect us mentally. We may have a loss of memory, a foggy mind, difficulties controlling our emotions. Stress can also have a direct effect on us spiritually. Perhaps we can't find that right amount of time that we need to spend with God. Or perhaps our minds are unclear to hear God speaking or leading in our lives. It might be a loss of faith, or even we may begin to blame God for our stressful situations. Many times when we are under stress, we go towards the human approach for healing of this stress instead of the approach that is presented to us through God's word. Depression. It's become an epidemic. Depression seems to steal away the very essence of who we are. It robs the brain of its capacities for creativity, spontaneity, accomplishments, and even joy. The disease seems to be striking at an earlier and earlier age, including our children. Major episodes of depression now occur frequently by the age 25. It affects over 200 million people worldwide, and currently affecting more than 19 million Americans. Some of the symptoms might include deep sadness or emptiness, apathy, agitation, restlessness, sleep disturbances. I will tell you, I own and operate a health food store, and probably one of the number one complaints is sleep disturbance. People coming in looking for that magic pill to help them sleep. Weight and appetite disturbances. Lack of concentration, feelings of excessive guilt or worthlessness, morbid thoughts, fatigue. Do any of these symptoms sound like they could interfere your relationship with God? Certainly, right? Hebrews 12, 11 and 12 says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness until them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And so we know that through scripture and prayer, it is scientifically proven that it is one of the most healing and most calmest state our bodies can be in. Prayer operates along the same biochemical pathways as our relaxation response. In other words, praying will affect the different messengers in our body and in the way of releasing stress hormones, leading to lower blood pressure and a more relaxed heart rate than any other health benefits. It is crucial that life stresses be met by Christian meditation, communion with God, concentrating and listening on his word. Mickey, he was a second grader, and he was taking the school bus, and on his way, he went and scraped his arm. He scraped it on the back of the seat on a sharp metal part. And even though it was a surface scrape and not serious, it bled quite a bit. And Mickey got blood all over his new shirt. Once he got to school, he got cleaned up and he got into his classroom. But there he faced another problem. You see, he was supposed to bring that special paper back to school that his parents had signed, and then he realized he forgot, and his teacher was extremely displeased with him. Well, Mickey's day, unfortunately, didn't get any better. At recess, he accidentally hit his tooth, his mouth, actually, and he lost two teeth. And then things went from bad to worse. After school, he began to run for the school bus, but he slipped on the ice and he fell. And instead of getting up comfortably, he found out he had broken his wrist. So the teacher had to call his dad and pick him up and take him to the hospital. Now, on the way to the hospital, Mickey was fidgeting around with his other hand in his pocket, and he pulled something out and was looking at it, and his father said, "Mickey, what's in your hand?" And Mickey pulls out 25 cents. He says, "It's 25 cents, Dad. I found it on the ground when I fell and broke my wrist. It's the first quarter that I've ever found. Dad, this is the best day of my life." You see, our attitudes make an incredible difference in the way that we see the world. They have an amazing impact on our lives. We cannot always choose what happens to us, but we can choose our attitudes towards it. The single most important choice we make each day is our choice of attitude. You see, it is more important than your past. It's more important than your education or your bank account or your corporate success or your prestige, or even the opinion of those around us. Attitude is more important than any of these things. Because you see, if my attitude is poor, it really doesn't matter how much education or how much money or ability or corporate success I have, or even what people think of me. Because if I have a poor attitude, everything else in my life will eventually fall apart. It's interesting that attitude is comprised of 10% is what happens to us, and 90% of how we respond to it. Our attitude plays a significant part in our well-being as well. It's not just our lifestyle, you see, that determines our health. Human emotions, too, have a significant impact. A positive attitude will increase health no matter what situation is, whether it be poverty, sickness, lack of shelter, etc. A new study reported that researchers from the University of Kansas have found that positive emotions are critical to maintain physical health for people worldwide, and especially those that are deeply impoverished. In other words, if you want to be healthy, the more difficult your circumstances are, the more you will need a positive attitude. The study showed that positive emotions such as happiness and contentment are unmistakably linked to better health, even when taking into account a lack of basic needs. So a positive attitude is not just your state of mind, but it'll actually change your body and your brain physically. So, what is a positive thing that we as Christians need to focus on? It is Christ's return, isn't it? Do you realize in the Bible that the Bible describes Christ's return 1,500 times? Isn't that amazing? I think there's a point that God is wanting us to get, isn't it? Revelation 1:7, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." So whatever the circumstances are in your life, God has a better tomorrow planned for you. Each day, let your spirit soar and rejoice in the hope that a better day is coming. On the shoulders of faith, we can see further than our eyes can see. So what about spiritual health? Do you realize there is a spiritual warfare going on right now? And it's going on with you in the center of it all, you personally. John 15:4-6 is a very powerful message that I'm sure you're familiar with. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." However, if you keep reading, there is one portion there that stands out that states God's love for you personally. It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You see, God has already chosen you. He chose you and he has a plan for your life. And he had a plan for your life well before you were even born. And you're familiar with John 3:16, that God, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So are we so desperate here on earth sometimes to find that relief from the pain and the suffering that we'll go to any extent to find it? Pain is something that will weaken us. It'll weaken us entirely, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. However, we are also told that pain can be taken up into the purpose of God and transformed into a finer character, greater tenderness, and more general usefulness overall. I think of the pain that can come from childbirth. Any mother would agree that that pain is worth it all as it brings forth new life. God certainly hears our prayers. He hears our cries for help. And Christ says in John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." He feels your pain. He feels your grief. He feels your sadness and your hurt, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Revelation 21:4, "The eyes of the saved are to be fixed on the new heavens and the new earth, in which there will be no more pain or sorrow." Former Bishop of London, H.A. Wilson, says, "If we could recover the fundamental simplicities of our faith, which tells of a heavenly Father, who knows us all by name and counts the very hairs of our head, we would find our feet were set on the path of health as well as happiness." However, this busyness and craziness of this world has convinced us to not believe, and instead we become too preoccupied with our material interests, and as a result, the effects of sin, such as our fear, anxiety, irritation, and apprehension, enter in and pollute our lives so that it is the best breeding ground for disease of mind, body, and spirit. You see, I can practice as a nutritionist. I can help people obtain physical health and sometimes even emotional health. But if I don't offer the spiritual health, directing people to that true healer, Jesus, the one who deserves all the glory and all the honor, then total health can never be obtained. I had the privilege of attending one of our health institutes in the U.S. And when I was there, there was a private jet that came in, and this father came carrying in his 17-year-old boy, limp in his arms. I can't even tell you what he weighed, but he was skin and bones. His arms and his legs were about this big in diameter. And this father came in with tears flowing, saying, "Please, please help me and heal my child." And at this time, I took it to heart greatly, and it was heavy on my heart because I had a child that exact age and other children, of course. And as a parent, you can't help but see your own child there in his arms. And so I wept for this man and this child, and I followed this counselor along who would do these treatments with this boy, putting him into the hydrotherapy tub and taking him out, doing the massage, doing whatever treatments possible. But while he was going through these treatments, we would sing. We'd have the hymnals and we would sing hymns and we would pray daily. After a number of days, not too long, this boy passed away. And at the end of it all, the father looked, and with a smile on his face as he left, he said, "Thank you for healing my son. Thank you for helping to heal my life." You see, it didn't matter. I realized then what health ministry is all about. It's about directing people to the true healer, to the great physician. It's about healing us spiritually and not just physically. Physical health helps us in many cases, like I've shared, to be able to enhance our spiritual enrichment, give us that spiritual enrichment. But when the end of the day is all said and done, it's really about Jesus, isn't it? And doing our part so that one day we can spend eternity with him. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." It is not the body that has a soul, but rather man is a living soul. Health is total. It is personal well-being. It is social harmony and justice. It is walking humbly with our God. It is trust in God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus."